Martinez and I were talking about in hour two of today's show, where Father Martinez was bringing in a number of biblical passages that certainly, I think, were in the forefront of the mind of Dr. E. Michael Jones and what he had to say to the Barnes Review. As Father Martinez was pointing out, if you look at passages like 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, Matthew chapter 8, verses 10 through 13, Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, Matthew chapter 27, verse 25, Matthew chapter 21, verses 27 through 46, and then I'll also jot down John chapter 8 here. All of these various places in the New Testament give a particular understanding of the opposition to the ministry of Jesus Christ in the first century that it seems to me has implications for the way that we presently understand history. And that's something that I want to take up with Mark Glenn, who is now on the line with me from Idaho. Mark Glenn of the American Free Press, how are you, my friend?
Marcus, how are you?
Well, very good. Have you recovered from your conference last weekend?
Barely.
Yeah, I figured. I have deliberately not bothered you this week with a lot of email or phone calls because I figured with so many things that you've been up against recently and turning, especially with some crises in your own family and so forth, with some people having health problems, that you didn't need me invading your space in terms of constant calls this week for advice or suggestions. And I really appreciate the fact that in the wake of all of this stuff, including the conference last week in Sandpoint, that you are with us this morning. That shows the either the level of dedication that you have or the level of masochism. I'm not sure which, but or maybe it's both. But
well,
I really,
it's always a pleasure and an honor, Mark.
Well, believe me, when I talk to you or to Father Martinez or I read the latest from E. Michael Jones, that as I see it in the Barnes Review or some of the things that Mike Kuiper constantly brings my way, I feel like I am sitting at the feet of some gentlemen that are trying to bring me up to speed in regard to what has been my own past theological and historical and political ignorance. And I say that as one who was always a reasonably well-educated, well-read person, but there is a whole dimension of history that largely escaped me for many, many years. And obviously, if it has escaped me for years, it's escaped a lot of other people. And this is where I think you and Piper and Talawi and Father Martinez come in. You've all been trying to educate a lot of people as to how and why we arrived at the rather dreadful place where we are now in American history. When we come back, I want to take that up with Mark Glenn. Mark, hold that comment of mine and respond to it when we come back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn of Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press will be with me when we return. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle. And today, you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
To you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. As I was mentioning at an earlier point in the show, electrical storms gave me only an hour with Alan Stang this past Wednesday to discuss Alan's new book on homosexuality in the Republican Party. It's entitled Not Holier Than Thou, How Queer is Bush? And Alan is going to come back this coming Tuesday to spend an hour with me from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning central. Take a look or listen to that show, folks, for those of you who were interested in what we were talking about this past Wednesday with Alan Stang. He will cover those issues in the last hour of my show this coming Tuesday. And keep in mind what I also said about Alan at the beginning of the show. His work on the George Wallace assassination attempt in May of 1972 in Laurel, Maryland, is, to my knowledge, the only comprehensive investigative journalistic look into what really happened to Governor Wallace and who was behind it. when I was talking with Alan last night, I said, you know, I read your work on the Wallace assassination attempt. I've never seen anything like it anywhere. And Alan, in the humble spirit, did say, well, that's because I don't think anyone else looked into it. For those of you who enjoy what Alan Stang had to say in his conversations about the gay movement in the Republican Party and both the Reagan and Bush administrations this past Wednesday, we'll enjoy listening to Alan again this coming Tuesday on the show, 9 to 10 a.m. Central. And also to read, if you have the time this weekend, what he has said about the George Wallace situation going back to May of 1972. We're joined in this last hour by Mark Glenn, of course, of the American Free Press. And, Mark, in regard to what I kind of brought up initially before the break, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be so hard on yourself as you are. All of us have been at this point where, you know, all of a sudden scales are removed from our eyes and we realize that we've been going in the opposite direction. You were quoting a lot of scripture verses at the beginning of this hour, one of which was Thessalonians, which we know was written by Paul. And keep in mind that, you know, for a good portion of his ministry, Paul spent his time hunting down and killing Christians. So there's a perfect example there of what having your eyes open to the truth can do. It can literally turn you in the opposite direction. So, and I'm sure that Paul wrestled with the guilt of what he did probably throughout, you know, the rest of his life. Humbled him, you see, because remember, it was Paul who said that he works out his salvation every day in trembling, which means he doesn't take anything for granted. He realizes that his sins of the past are great and that he has a lot to do in answering for them. So what I'm saying is that you shouldn't be as hard on yourself as you are, Mark. I think that if there is any truth to your self-criticism that you spent a lot of time wandering around in the dark, you're certainly making up for that lost time with what you're doing now.
Well, it's a very kind way, Mark, of saying something that Alan Stang said to me on the show on Wednesday when I sheepishly admitted on the air that as a young Lutheran pastor in Seattle in the late 1980s, and I was a broadcaster on a 50,000-watt Christian radio station in those days, part-time, I admitted that I was deluded enough to have done some volunteer work for Jack Kemp when he was running for president in 1988. And Alan Stang, who seems like such a decent, kind, humble, tactful person, he said, Mark, he said, we've all done things that we ought to be ashamed of. That's yours. He said, we can talk about some of mine too. And I felt better after Alan put it that way. In fact, that I know that to be true. And yet it's amazing to me as one who is a Christian and as one who is interested in the history of Christian orthodoxy, that the kinds of trails that you, Mark, have had such a role in leading me on, and then, of course, we bring Piper into this conversation. We talk about Father Martinez. E. Michael Jones has put some research before me that's been absolutely incredible. As I continue reading this sort of thing, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I feel that I have moved from benevolent delusion into an understanding that now has to be deepened through time, through prayer, and through study, and through faithfulness.
And also, Mark, I think that the most important ingredient is the one that you mentioned earlier, which is this issue of humility, you see. You know, the old proverb goes, wisdom begins with fear of God. And, of course, the fear of God, what is implied by that is that a person humbles himself, lowers himself before the power of something that is more powerful than he. And so this is the beginning of all wisdom, in my opinion, is this issue of humility. You know, Christ said many times, he said, unless you are willing to humble yourself and to submit, you're never going to attain this level of enlightenment that you need to have if you're going to be considered acceptable in the eyes of God. And, of course, this is the thing that was, this was the biggest problem that he had in terms of dealing with his Jewish enemies, the rabbis, is that they were supremely puffed up and proud, prideful, whatever term that you want to use. They possess no humility in them at all. And this was what blinded them to who Jesus was. This was what blinded them to what Jesus was trying to do. And this is what blinds them to understanding this course to Armageddon that they're on today. They're so puffed up, they're so proud, and so unwilling to consider the possibility that maybe they're not God's chosen people. Maybe they don't have this right to rule the world as they imagine themselves as being. This is what has brought them and all of us literally to the brink of extinction today, is this lack of humility. And so, you know, it's amazing. We go searching for these very complicated answers in explaining these very complicated issues, but really, it really can be boiled down to just a few simple principles, one of which is this lack of humility today. And so this is something, I guess, that we have to remind ourselves on a daily basis, which is that unless we want to fall back into our old ways, unless we want to fall into the ways of these evil men who seem to be hell-bent on destroying all that is good today, we have to daily check ourselves and make sure that we remain on that path of humility. Otherwise, we will wind up in the same sorry condition that they are in.
Well, and I think that is a point well taken and in need of much emphasis in all of our lives, Mark. In terms of the way that some of this plays out in regard to last weekend, share with us a little bit about what you talked about in Sandpoint, Idaho last weekend, and a little bit of what Piper and Talawi and others had to say.
Well, I did not speak. I was scheduled to, but we ran into some it started to get late in the day on Sunday, and I thought that it would be better to just allow my good friend Hisham Talawi to speak again. So I kind of humbly conceded my hour over to him and allowed him to speak. I felt that what he had to say, given his return from Palestine, that he was just there for a couple of weeks ago, I felt that what he had to tell the people with regards to what he personally experienced was more important than anything that I would be able to tell them. But I did get a chance, my five oldest children and I performed a musical piece that we created ourselves entitled Children of a Lesser God. It was a piece that I wrote a few months ago, and basically it deals with the suffering that is being experienced all over the world, not just by those in the Middle East, but people all over the world who are suffering under this oppression of these Jewish supremacists. We, in the eyes of these Jewish supremacists, we are all children of a lesser God, and so therefore it's perfectly proper for them to do whatever they want with us. And so that was my contribution to the to the events of the weekend. But as far as Hisham and as far as Mike Piper, they really were the stars of the entire weekend. Of course, Piper, as you know, he can lighten up a very dark room just with a few comments. He's very entertaining. He's very likable. Of course, he spoke on his area of expertise, which is Zionist intrigue and Zionist power in the United States, and shared with us some of his experiences having been involved in this business for the last 25 years. Hisham, of course, as I mentioned, he talked about his experiences in Palestine, where he was a few weeks ago. He brought a lot of video testimony, talked about the wall that's being built, talked about the abuses, talked about the 4 hours that he was detained by the Israeli military, where he was questioned, and so all in all, it was a very, very good, a very productive conference. And we'll talk more about that, I guess, after the break.
Very good. We'll be back with Mark Glenn of both Crescent and Cross and the American Free Press when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
This is Mark Pankos, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In the first hour of the show, I was reading excerpts from Dr. E. Michael Jones' interview in the current Barnes Review. That's entitled, Traditional Catholic Scholar-Author Challenges Judeo-Christian Zionists. In hour two, Father John Martinez joined me. We spoke a little bit about the Jones interview. And then talked about some other things that Father Martinez brought into the mix in terms of a very offering of New Testament passages as it pertains to the political and cultural and historical debate that we engage in usually on Fridays. And now here in hour three, per usual, we have Mark Glenn of the American Free Press and Crescent and Cross, who is talking a little bit with us about the events in Sandpoint, Idaho last week that involved presentations by Hesham Talawi and Michael Collins Piper. Mark, in regard to last week's conference, let me share something with you. You warned me one time that this would be likely to happen. I have had from time to time, to be frank with my listeners, some real depression over the way things are. I read some of this data. I listen to some of these fine presentations. It gives me a deepening awareness of just how bad things have really gotten, not only in the world, but in America specifically. And sometimes I find myself needing to have my batteries recharged in terms of any sense of hope that either I or others who at a more significant level are involved in these things are actually counting for something or influencing something in a better direction. Was there any sense last weekend in Sandpoint from Piper and Dr. Talawi and others that in fact maybe beginning to turn a corner here, that maybe there is some way in which despite all of the odds against us, some good things are starting to happen?
Well, I think that we have to be careful about our expectations here.
Yes.
It's not 1775 and we're not fighting the British, okay? Unfortunately, a lot of people who get involved in this, they kind of fall back on history and they say, well, you know, we did this 230 years ago, we can do it again. And I have no doubt, with God's help, that a victory will be seen. But I don't necessarily subscribe to the notion that the victory that is going to be achieved is going to be the kind of victory that we envision. Now, I totally understand what you're saying with regards to the very depressing situation. I think that the victory, Mark, is, first of all, that we have, at least to some degree, all of us who are involved in this, we have rescued ourselves from being imprisoned by this deception. Okay, that in and of itself is a victory. If you think about having escaped from a prison, you know, you're out on the lam, as the saying goes, and so, you know, you're running and you're hiding, and it's a very, very difficult existence to maintain, you know, whereas the people who are in that prison, they get their three meals a day and they've got a cot to sleep on, and people are not hunting them down and trying to kill them. So there are prices that come with this freedom. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I think that realistically speaking at this point, the best that we can do is to encourage each other so that we don't lose hope, and that those of us who have escaped this prison don't go wandering back to it for the perceived security that it offers. Okay, that right now is really the best, in my opinion, that we can hope for. And I think that there's precedent for this. If you look at what happened to Peter and the apostles after Jesus was crucified and after he rose from the dead and then the Holy Spirit came upon them, you know, they didn't even get to see the fruits of their labors. They literally, some of them went to the cross just like Jesus did. And for the next 250 years, Christianity was being hunted down. It had to exist as a subterranean movement. It wasn't until the 4th century came along when Christianity was no longer illegal that they began to see, the Christian world began to see some of the fruits of this. So I think that the best approach to this is to look at our founding fathers, okay, and in this case I'm talking about the early Christians, and look at what they had to go through and the fact that they didn't give up even though they didn't get to see any fruits, any real tangible fruits of their efforts. And so, you know, Jesus, when he was asked about the end times, he said, when you see the abomination of desolation sitting in the holy place, run for the hills, because it will be a time of suffering never before experienced and never to be experienced again. Now, of course, we associate this suffering simply with physical suffering, war, privations, and things like this. But remember, you know, when we look at Jesus' passion, it began with his hour in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was going through this mental anguish, you see. And so I think far too often we fail to recognize how powerful mental anguish can be on a person. And we are going through this as well. This is the suffering that a lot of us have to go through, is this mental anguish.
Yes, when we come back, I'll have a comment of my own in regard to your observation, Mark, and then we'll also chat about some other things at Sandpoint, Idaho from last weekend, talk a little bit about the USS Liberty in terms of any updates, and other things that Mark Glenn has going with the American Free Press. This is Mark Gankoff. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. In the first hour of the show, I read excerpts of Dr. E. Michael Jones' interview with the Barnes Review, the current July-August 2007 edition of the Barnes Review. Hour two, I discussed some of this with Father John Martinez. And then finally, Mark Lynn of the American Free Press is on in the current hour to cover some things with me. By the way, folks, quite some time ago, I had Chuck Carlson on this show of We Hold These Truths. Chuck Carlson is one of the people, I think, along with Mark Glenn and Mike Piper and Hesham Talawi and Father John Martinez, has been in the forefront of fighting the heresy known as Christian Zionism and fighting it with God's word and with a lot of discernment. When Chuck was on this show weeks and weeks ago, he was talking about his own op-ed piece where he was suggesting the possibility that Pat Tillman, the NFL football star who was killed abroad, and it was used as a poster boy by the neoconservatives for support for the American war effort in the Middle East, Chuck was suggesting that Pat Tillman may have been murdered. And I had several people who called me later to said, you know, this guy Carlson must be some sort of a nut. Who could possibly believe that sort of thing? And yet, interestingly enough, Truth Out has a story today. Was Tillman murdered? The Associated Press reports as follows. Army medical examiners were suspicious about the close proximity of the three bullet holes in Pat Tillman's forehead and tried without success to get authorities to investigate whether the former NFL player's death amounted to a crime. That's the Associated Press now talking, folks. And that is a truthout.org piece. I'm going to forward this to Mark Glenn. I have already forwarded this to Chuck Carlson as yet another vindication of the very fine work that Chuck does for the rest of us on an ongoing basis. Mark, getting back to something before, that you were talking about before the break, you still there?
Yes, sir.
What in your judgment, Mark, you know, you were talking about a great danger for all of us, that when we feel discouraged over these things that we learn and the way in which there is a political, religious, and economic establishment that militates against the truth, that punishes people for living the truth and talking about the truth and testifying to it. You made reference to the fact that it is a grave temptation to become so discouraged over the way things are that we decide to ultimately throw in the towel and to go back and to cut some sort of a deal with this world system in order to at least have some economic sustenance and a more comfortable life. I find that to be very profound. That's been an idea that's occurred to me from time to time when I think, you know, what's the use of this? Maybe I ought to just go out and work for corporate America. I just want to emphasize, I found your observation in this regard to be especially profound.
Well, keep in mind, Mark, you know, we were told to a certain degree that this was what was going to happen. You know, when we read in the book of the Apocalypse, it says that the beast required all these people to have a mark on his hand or on his forehead without which he could not buy or sell. And so very clearly it's describing that there would come this time when there would be the system in place where if you did not cooperate with it, then you were going to be shut out. And that is essentially what exists today. If you are not out there working to prop up this evil thing, then they're going to make life very difficult for you. But, you know, the option, as far as I'm concerned, there really is no option. We who presume to follow the truth and who have our eyes open to the seriousness of the situation, I mean, what can we do? Do we wander back to that prison camp and enlist ourselves back in it again? I mean, talk about a living hell, what that would be. As bad as it is now, living outside the camp, imagine how horrible it would be to have to forego all of your convictions and then to wander back and then participate in this thing again. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that people, you know, that they should buy some land out in the country and go and not buy things at the stores and things like that. I'm not talking about that. I mean, to a certain degree, we have to integrate ourselves with the system, at least on a certain economic level. But I'm talking about surrendering your hearts and your minds and your souls to this thing. And, you know, I mean, it's, like I said, as hard as it is to live outside of it and to be, you know, waging this war against this hurricane of sorts, as hard as that is, it would be much harder on your spirit if you were to wander back into that thing and try to integrate yourself with it.
Yes. Well, you know, in the C. Michael Jones interview, Mark, there are a couple of things that I read last night in this conversation that he had with the Barnes Review that made me think of you. As a matter of fact, the Barnes Review says to Mike Jones that many people use the terms Zionist and Jews interchangeably, many times because they are afraid to use the term Jews. In fact, not all Jews are Zionists, and not all Zionists are Jews. And while there are a small number of Jews who reject Zionism, which is a political expression of Jewish nationalism, most of the influential Jewish groups and Jewish leaders in the United States and around the world are, in fact, Zionists. And the truth is that even many of the anti-Zionist Jews, such as the Naturai Karta group, hold on to the Talmud. This is exactly what I understand of your argument at the American Free Press conference, where you were having a rhetorical and logical sword crossing with a rabbi from the Naturai Karta group. Mike Jones responds to the Barnes Review by saying that Judaism is hatred of logos. The Talmud is the heart of the Jewish people. That's what the authoritative Jewish encyclopedia itself says. Is that pretty much your take on these matters as you've discussed them in the past?
Yes, I understand that there are certain people that they feel that there's the need to separate Judaism and Zionism, but the fact of the matter is that they're really not separable at all. It's the difference between one and the other is like the difference between vanilla and French vanilla, to borrow a comparison that another internet writer uses. When you look at what encompasses modern political Zionism, and then you look at what has been traditionally taught by this thing known as Talmudic Judaism, you can see clearly that Zionism is an outgrowth of Judaism, all of the protests of these people notwithstanding. There's just no, and by the way, we have it from sources within the group itself. You know, we have people such as Israel Shahak, Mordecai Vanunu, Israel Shamir, people who grew up in that Talmudic world, and they have stated unequivocally that this is what the Judaic mindset is. This is what it teaches. This is what it holds to. So as far as I'm concerned, these people who are trying to draw this line between the two and to say that they're these completely different animals, they're either deluded themselves or they are deliberately trying to delude others. But, and this is the problem, until we get a handle on what Judaism is and on what Judaism teaches, we're never going to be able to solve this problem. And so, when you look at Jesus, when you look at Peter, when you look at Paul, you look at the early Christians, they weren't out there holding rallies and protesting against this thing known as Zionism. Okay, they were out there warning people about the dangers of Phariseeism. And as you noted, the Jewish Encyclopedia, that says the Talmud is the heart of the Jewish people, it's the heart of the Jewish religion. That same Jewish encyclopedia uses interchangeably the word Phariseeism with this idea of what Judaism is. It uses that exact word, Phariseeism. So if Jesus, if Paul, if Peter, and all of the other men who lost their lives to this beast, if they were out there speaking out against this thing known as Phariseeism, then I don't think that we have any business doing anything different.
Yes, and that makes all the sense in the world to me. And as I was reading the Jones interview in the Barnes Review, it brought to my mind, Mark, what you have said consistently to me, and that is that even if we had the end of the Zionist enterprise in the Middle East, even if we had a cessation of American political and military and economic support for Zionism as of tomorrow morning, that it would not in any way, shape, or form deal with the fact that through Talmudic Judaism, you continue to have an ongoing cancerous effect upon the domestic American political and cultural scene. And this seems to be what Mike Jones is talking about in this Barnes Review interview. He says that here in the United States, with the influx of Jewish and Catholic immigrants in the late 19th century and early 20th century, you had a confrontation over obscenity in the motion picture industry. By 1929, the Jews and the leadership of the Hollywood motion picture industry went into great debt to finance the talking pictures, and then the crash came. At this point, the Catholic Cardinal of Philadelphia, Cardinal Doherty, declared a boycott of all the Warner Brothers theaters, and this had a big impact on the Warner Brothers profits. This was the beginning of the culture wars between the Catholics and the Jews. Basically, the Jews capitulated and introduced the famous production codes, and for roughly 30 years, the Catholic the Catholics pretty much held Jewish Hollywood in line. But in 1965, the Jews broke the code in the wake of the Second Vatican Council that constituted a colossal failure of nerve on the part of Catholics around the world. Suddenly, the Catholics were being told that they shouldn't be contesting culture with the Jews. As a result, the Jews had no constraints upon them, and within 5 years, two of the top-grossing films were pornographic productions such as Deep Throat and The Devil and Miss Jones. Once the Jews were given free rein in pornography, according to E. Michael Jones, they were able to colonize the entire culture because pornography is a form of social control. What was the first thing the Israelis did when they occupied Ramallah? They started broadcasting pornography from the local television station. Now, that's E. Michael Jones talking to the Barnes Review. Frankly, in terms of the analysis, it sounds very much like Mark Glenn of the American Free Press. Is that a fair transposition from one fellow to the other in regard to this particular take?
Well, I think we obviously agree, although E. Michael Jones is obviously a much more erudite and eloquent speaker than I am. Basically, yes, I agree with him. When I hear people of the Jewish stripe saying, oh, I oppose Israel and I oppose Zionism, my next question to them is, well, how do you feel about killing unborn children? How do you feel about pornography? How do you feel about the destruction of the family unit? You see, and invariably, with very few exceptions, when you are getting into a discussion with somebody from the Jewish camp on these issues, invariably they stand in support of these issues. Invariably they support abortion, they support pornography, they support the destruction of the family unit. If not openly, then they do it tacitly with their support of the Democratic Party. So this is the thing. We are making a big mistake here if we simply limit our focus on this little sliver of land on the eastern shores of the Mediterranean Sea. That is just a symptom of Judaism. It's not the cause of the problem itself. In my opinion, Israel exists for one purpose and one purpose only, which is to act as a hideout for these people who go about the world implementing the tenets of Judaism to the point where they become criminals, where they become unwanted in the countries, where they perpetrate these acts, and then they need a place to run and hide. And the perfect proof, the proof of this exists in the situation today with, for example, the Russian mafia, the oligarchs, and other people throughout the world who, once they have gotten caught doing something illegal or immoral, rather than standing before the bar of justice in whatever country in which this has taken place, they get on a plane and they head for Tel Aviv, where they know that they're going to be safe because Israel has no extradition treaty. It's unwilling to extradite any Jews to another country to stand trial. So this is the problem. You get rid of Israel today, and it will be back in a certain amount of time because these people, following this criminal mindset known as Talmudic Judaism, they need a hideout. All gangsters need a place where they can meet and where they can make their plans in secret and where they can, go to the mattresses, as the gangster language goes. So this is, a lot of people say, well, you're just raining on a parade here. You know, we're making a lot of progress against what's going on in the Middle East. But the fact of the matter is that if you're going to cure somebody of cancer, then hack the whole thing off. Don't scoop out a few ounces of it and leave the rest of the body infected with the cancer, because then to one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to have to go back in and get the rest of the cancer out again later, or the body's going to die.
Well, Mark, in terms of what you were just sharing with us, is that the context then in which we need to see Vladimir Putin's perspective on something that's been happening between his government and Britain? And by that I mean that the British and others seem to be trying to pin the Litvinenko murder on elements in Putin's government, or at least tacitly on Putin himself. Putin will not agree to the extradition of this guy Lugovoy that Britain claims had something to do with Litvinenko's death. Now, Putin has pointed out that there are two or three people that the British are holding who are from the former Soviet Union that, in the judgment of Putin, have committed crimes against the Russian people, and the British will not hear of listening to Mr. Putin's extradition request. And I think this guy Berezovsky is one of the people in question, if I'm remembering this correctly. What is your understanding of this? Are the British hiding something that involves certain nefarious activities that have been going on in Russia? And does that have anything to do with this Jewish question?
Well, sure, but we have to look at the latest incidents, whether it's with Berezovsky or Litvinenko or any others. These are just preliminary steps setting Russia up for the next big crusade. The neocons, the Zionists, whatever you want to call them, they are after Russia as well, because Russia is a threat to them, a threat to their agenda. I mean, Russia is not going to be pushed around and bullied the way that these third world Middle Eastern countries are.
When we come back, I want to ask Mark Glenn if he believes that portends a future world conflict that will involve the United States and Russia, and is world Zionism promoting that conflict? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned for our final minutes with Mark Glenn.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the last couple of minutes of our conversation with Mark Glenn of the American Free Press. Folks, get a copy of the current Barnes Review and look for this interview with Dr. E. Michael Jones. It really is a fine piece, among many other fine articles that are in the Barnes Review's present edition, which arrived in my mailbox yesterday. A couple of things. I wanted to ask Mark if he believes that an American-Russian war is being promoted by neoconservative interests. And then secondly, to give him a chance to plug the DVD that I understand came out of last week's conference in Sandpoint. Go ahead, Mark.
As far as the DVD goes, it'll probably be a couple of weeks before it's available. But anybody interested in getting it should contact Pastor Dave Barley, and you can do that by going to the America Promise website, which is AmProm, A-M-M as in man, AmProm.org, and there should be some contact information. As far as a confrontation with Russia, I think it's safe to say that we're already on the path to that. It's like asking somebody if they predict that there's going to be a hurricane during hurricane season. I think that it's safe to say that there will be some type of conflict. I'm not going to say, I'm not going to predict any kind of particulars. Who knows? Maybe these lunatics who are pushing this thing will realize what's at stake and they'll back off. But at the same time, and I'll try to be as concise with this as possible, this goes back a long time. When the Trotskyites were driven from power after Stalin took over the Soviet Union, they were forced to flee. Now, today's neocons, they basically are the remnants of these Trotskyites. You see, when they lost control of Russia, they lost control of a really big jewel as far as they were concerned. And so a lot of these folks, I hate to use the word folks, a lot of these creatures, having to flee Russia, they went to Israel, they went to the United States, and I think that it's been within their plan all this time that they were going to get their hands around Russia's throat again. And basically to begin where they left off previously before they were driven out of power. Now, I believe that this was the plan when communism fell and these oligarchs began buying up all of Russia's state-owned companies and things like that. And when Putin drove them out, now they are hell-bent upon making Russia pay for this. And so, obviously, as we look at what's going on in the Middle East, you can see what a disaster this is. The fact that it is a disaster has not deterred them in the least. And yet they are continually pressing forward with plans of going to war against Iran, going to war against Syria and elsewhere. And so, this is the thing. When you're dealing with megalomaniacs like this, they're not very rational people. You can explain to them 100 different ways how what they are proposing is a disaster, and yet their greed clouds their judgment to the point where they're still willing to do it. And so with that in mind, I would say that we stand a very good chance of winding up in some type of a shooting match with Russia.
That's the latest take from Mark Glenn, folks. Take his warnings to heart. I wanted to thank Mark for being on today, as well as Father John Martinez. They will join me, God willing, 1 week today. The rest of my lineup for this coming week is as follows. Greg Felton on Monday, Alan Stang on Tuesday, Mark Anderson at the American Free Press on Thursday, and then a re-engagement and Father Martinez 1 week today. This is Mark Antos America, signing off live in San Antonio, Texas.